You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Ridgecrest Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. To connect with us or learn more, visit us online at ridgecrestbaptist.org.
It is good to be back, and it is a hard act to follow when you have the disco and then me. You know, I'm not exactly the disco kind of guy, but I want you to see. You see this disco ball down here? You see this right here? Do you know where that came from? My bathroom. That's exactly right. I my office has its own washroom, and that is it, that hangs in there because several years ago, Dwayne and the crew decided to play a little joke on me, and they put that in there with a Saturday Night Live photo with me doing this. And so the picture's no longer there, but I just decided to keep the disco ball, which has turned into some really awkward conversations when we've had out-of-town guests that have used my office as the green room. So anyway, I've just kind of decided that, I was away for 2 weeks, and I was so thankful for the team and all that they did, Robert and Wayne and just everybody, and then so much fun with Kayla. Kayla's always so much fun. I've just decided I don't want to be the place where fun goes to die anymore. So for the next 20 years, I'm going to do my best to be fun, okay? So that's my commitment. Now, my kind of fun is very dry humor and sleight of hand and words and things like that. So you probably won't still like it, but I'm going to try, okay? I'm going to try. It is so good. So a part of this is that, you know, as a pastor, you plan sermons and you try to get things together. And so Friday, and I'm looking at the sermon I'm going to preach to you, and the title of it was Suffering. And I thought, you know, maybe this isn't the best way to start Vacation Bible School, but I am committed. So I studied all weekend and said, I'm going to preach that sermon on suffering. I'm going to make it a fun sermon on suffering. And then this morning at 6:30, the Spirit said, it can't be done. So what I've done is I wrote this sermon that I'm preaching today for July 5th. So, and it's light and it fits perfectly. And I don't know why I didn't think of it before this morning at 6:30. The good thing about working ahead is that you can pull stunts like this. Now, we have had sound issues, and to add on top of that, I had them change everything for my part too. So our team upstairs, give them a round of applause. They've had a rough morning. They've done a great job. Now, I want to tell you that what looks like accidents is still providence. God is in control. Everything he's been doing this morning reminds me that we can plan and prepare, but he is in control, okay? And so what that means is that this is a message, not just that is thematically appropriate, but it's for you. It's for us to listen to today, and I believe be very encouraged. So if you will please stand with me. We're in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16, and you'll see why this is our text, since I have a light bulb right here in front of me. Take a look at what it says. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, allow that sort of light to illuminate our minds, our hearts, our souls this morning. Change us, Lord, and chase away the darkness. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, last year, when we were looking at my father-in-law's garage, he has what we call the Garage Mahal. He built a garage bigger than his house, okay, guys? I mean, you can appreciate this. It was filled with every tool known to man. It was an incredible thing. When he passed away, we went through it, and it's so funny because myself, my brother-in-law, we're not tool guys, and we were more than a little overwhelmed. But one of the things that really, really overwhelmed us was how many flashlights the man had. And I went out to my truck this morning when I decided at 6:30 that I was going to change the sermon. And remember that I had two examples. Here's one right here. It's pretty handy. You can stick this in your coat pocket if you're a handy kind of guy. And then there's this one, like if you're needing to change a tire or something like that. Look, that's pretty bright, right? These are pretty bright. Now, if you go to the hardware store, what you'll find is that there are a million different types of flashlights. I mean, for every purpose imaginable. And I have some more at home. If I would have been ahead of the game, I have some with magnets on them that when you're working on your car, you can attach it to metal and get in those hard places. And one of the reasons why flashlights sort of have captured my attention is because for years I've worked in an office and I've had good lighting. I haven't had to work with a flashlight. But a lot of you, if you work in a job where you're having to go in dark spaces, you know how valuable a flashlight is. And it's important to have different kinds of flashlights. So obviously you can see where I'm going here. I believe that the church, each one of us, when we come to know Christ, we are a different kind of flashlight. And we have different purposes, and God has different plans for our life. The one thing that is common is that we all have a light that needs to shine. And I want to tell you, one of the saddest things that happens in the church is that there are so many people with so many diverse kinds of lights, but they fail to turn them on. At some point, you have to be willing to allow the Spirit of God to turn that switch on and to allow your light to shine. I look at our church and I think about it. I've had a chance, you know, 2 weeks away, you kind of think about things and you think about the things you need to change or the things that you're very happy with. One of the things I'm very happy with is I am convinced that in this church, we have the sort of gifts, the right kind of gifts and giftings to change the world for Jesus Christ. I have no doubt that the light that shines in this room and in the room that met earlier this morning, we have all the different kinds of light we need to change the world. The only question is this: will we allow the Spirit to turn the light on? And I look around today and I sense that we are seeing more and more of those lights beginning to shine through discipleship as we grow in our faith in Christ. But we have a very large membership, and many of them have something to contribute, not just to you and me in the context of worship and weekly ministry, but they have something to give for the kingdom of God. And the world today wants you to think that you need to be something special, a unique kind of light. And I don't think that's true. I'm going to get into that in a moment. But here's the thing. Each of us must come to terms with who we are in Christ and then simply be what we are. Don't try to be someone else. If this is the example that hits me, but if I am called to preach, one of the big mistakes I made when I was younger is I tried to be like someone else. I wasn't trying to be who Christ made me to be. I don't mean the sinful Jeremy. I mean the redeemed, saved Jeremy. I needed to be who Christ wanted me to be. If you're called to play the drums, if you're called to help out in ministry in any capacity here, you may have models of ministry. You may read books about it and how other people do it. But know this, at some point, you have to just accept that your light is a little bit different, and God purposefully made you that way so that you could make the kingdom of God shine in a different way, in a beautiful way. I don't believe that any of us are lacking a light to shine, but I do believe that many of us are not allowing it to shine. And so there's a choice that needs to be made this morning, a choice to embrace the significance of your journey. I believe your journey is one into darkness. Now, hear me out. The world is a dark place, but that journey into darkness, we don't need to be afraid of the darkness if our light is on. If we are allowing our light to shine and we join our light with the collective lights in Christ that are just in this church, we will chase away the darkness and the darkness will not be able to comprehend it. That's how light works. And I believe that's how the light needs to work in our church. Your light is different than the light of your neighbor who is a believer. And some of us in this room may not be believers yet. We'll talk about that at the very end. If we do not have a light, it doesn't have to remain that way. Christ will put the light in you, and then the only choice you have is to let it shine. Turn it on so that those good works that are in Christ can change the world. My light is going to be different than your light. It's not about how big or bright the light is. Again, it just needs to be on. Now, I told you I wrote this sermon thinking about July 5th, following July 4th. Wow, imagine that. And one of the things that we often do in America for July 4th is we blow things up. The first time that Jenny and I were in Nixa, I think we were over at your house, at the Cherry's house, and it was, I think, it might not have been the first time, it was during COVID, and everybody had way too much money and way too much time, and it looked like World War III in Nixa. It was unbelievable how many billions of dollars were spent. But that's what we do. We blow things up because we like fireworks. And I want to just tell you, the reason why I bring this up is because when we think about light, sometimes we think about the big and the bold, the bright, like the fireworks. And I want to tell you, that is not what ministry is about. Don't think that your life is only significant if you're a firework. The key here is that we need to embrace the light in Christ, the light of Christ in us. And even though we love fireworks, what we need every day are just common light bulbs that just shine. And I'm more and more convinced as I get older that one of the things that I used to think that we needed these gifts of preaching and the gifts of singing and the gifts of teaching and all those things are important. But more and more I see that a church is most healthy when a majority of the lights are on. That's what the church needs more than anything else, is more and more lights on. It doesn't matter how gifted your pastor or your leaders are. They only have one particular kind of light to shine, and it's never enough. It was never meant to be enough. My job is not to be the most important light in the church. My job is to help each of you turn the switch on, so that your light shines. We are congregationalists. We believe that every single one of us have been touched by the Holy Spirit and have a right to be a part of even the governance of the church and the kingdom's work. And I want you to know that Jesus loves the church and gave himself for her. And each of you, as individual members of that body, you have to play your part. We need you to play your part. Turn the light on. In fact, that's my first point here. Don't be hidden. Don't allow your light to be hidden. Look at verse 14. Notice again this very plain exhortation. You are the light of the world, okay? So if you are a believer, this is not an if or a maybe. This is a definite first-class condition in the sentence. You are, yes, you are the light of the world. Not a light, but the light. And what I mean by that is this: when you have the gift of the Holy Spirit in you, I've said that your light will shine different, but don't forget the source of the light is Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. He is truly the source of the energy. You can reflect it and refract it. You can have it go through you, but the light is ultimately his. Let's go back to the firework imagery for a moment. One of the things that can make a fireworks show go bad in a hurry are clouds. And imagine the most beautiful, exquisite firework ever created. And we were at Disney World last week. And so if you go to Disney World with us, and Miss Jenny is with us, and you say, I don't want to see the fireworks show, she will hurt you. Because people have found out, Pastor Johnny, some of you remember Pastor Johnny. Pastor Johnny was not a good Disney person. And so Johnny was not invited to Disney anymore. So when you go to Disney, you got to watch the fireworks. And what we saw this time is we saw it from a different vantage point, and we noticed that some of the fireworks literally make boxes and balls and shapes, and they can do numbers in the sky. It's incredible what they can do with explosions. It makes me want to, you know, blow things up too. But anyway, they were putting these fireworks up in the sky, and it was just absolutely incredible. But it would be really sad to have one of those incredible fireworks go up into a big, thick cloud and explode in all its glory, and no one saw it. And I feel like Jesus understood human nature well enough to know that he knew that many of us would be given these amazing gifts of light, and then it'd get lost in the clouds. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, I think the Bible's pretty clear that what absconds, what blocks, what keeps us from seeing our light, the clouds, as it were, are caused by sin. I think that's one thing for sure. When we sin, we put a cloud around us that keeps people from being able to see the light. And I wonder how many Christian lights are lost to the world in a cloud of sin or in a fog of passivity. That word passivity, let's talk about that for a moment, okay? What I mean by that is this. I think it's obvious that sin is going to keep your light from shining. It'll hide the glory of God. If you allow sin to get a hold of your life, you will not shine as bright as you ought to. But there's another thing that's robbing the church of so much of its light, and that is passivity. That is where we're not working for Jesus, where we're sitting on the sidelines, where we're not active in our membership, where we are not committed to worship. We are not committed to the ministry. We're not going on mission trips. We're not involved in a small group. We're not pouring ourselves into a discipleship group. And all those things I've just mentioned to you, maybe every single one of them at some point need to be a priority in your life. And many of us are doing one or two or maybe none of those things. We have a membership of 5,000 lights that could be shining in Springfield and around the world, but we do not have 5,000 lights shining every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. No, many of those people have allowed their light to stay off. It doesn't mean it's not there. And I do believe that many of the people we have in our church that aren't worshiping right now, I'm not saying they're lost, but it's very clear they've flipped the switch, the toggle switch to off. And I want to encourage you right now. One of the most basic things you could do this morning, if you want to ask me, what's a practical thing I can do after hearing this sermon? Make sure you turn the light on. Just that simple. Tell this to the Spirit. Spirit of God, help me to make sure the light is flipped on every morning so that your light can shine through me and that I will not be hidden, that the light you have given me will not be hidden. The loud voices of the culture try to put a cloud around us. They try to tell us that our light is not important, but the Bible says differently. Isaiah 49:6, God says, I will make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. If you notice in verse 14, if we go back to our passage, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. God's plan from the beginning was for his people to be a light to their community and to the nations. Don't forget that here in Matthew's gospel, we have the Great Commission most clearly spelled out in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This idea of a commission is built on Jesus's command of letting our light shine, a reminder that we are to be a city on a hill. Now listen, we are a city here in Springfield on a plateau, not necessarily on a hill, but we are on a bit of a ridge here, Ridge Crest, right? I have always felt like that God gave us that name so that we would remember verses like this, reminding ourselves to constantly be light in our community and light for the world. One more verse, Psalm 27, 1a says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When the light is on, the darkness flees. Fear and anxiety keep us from being a good witness. We're more afraid of messing up in our witness than we are of facing God having not witnessed. Don't worry about your words. Don't worry about your abilities. Trust that when you are faithfully sharing the gospel, God will make sure the light shines in ways you could never imagine. God is waiting for us to be faithful. I think some of us are afraid to minister because we're trying to be more prepared. I'm all for being prepared, but if you never play the game, what's all the practice for? We need people who are willing to be light and love in the community. Your friends, the people you work with, the people you go to school with, they need more of Jesus. They need more of him. And you are a conduit of that light. You are children of light. And let the light of God go through you as if you were a window. But too many of us have become a wall, a barrier for the light. So think about your life. Are you allowing the light of Christ to flow through you as a window would? Or have you become a wall that is opaque, blocking the light? Jesus says you are the light of the world. And this is, again, in lockstep with a kingdom message of the Great Commission. So listen to me, church. It's time for us as a congregation to make a mental note and to have a mindset of having the lights on always. And let me tell you what happens when you don't. And I'll be brief here. History shows that the Hebrew people were given this great light, and from Mount Zion, they were to allow their light to shine, and they were to be a light to the Gentiles, as I read to you in the book of Isaiah. From the very beginning, they were called to be missional, to reach the world, and to tell the world that Yahweh is the one and only God. They chose not to do it. They chose to just worship and do things their own way. They turned their focus inside. They didn't let the light shine out. They would only let it shine in. And because of that, God took away that light. From AD 70 on, that light was completely removed. And I want to tell you that we today in the church, if we do not allow the light to shine, God will raise up another generation, another church, another group of people to let the light shine. It is our job to let the light shine, so let it not be hidden. Don't hide it. Let it shine in the world. Let it shine. Some of us in this room maybe feel like we have lost our light. But I want you to know it's still there. It's just time to make a choice and turn it on. If we do that, we'll light up the house. Second point. If you take a look at verse 15, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. It's interesting that the word lamp here in the Greek refers to the most simple of lamps. In fact, here's an example of what we think would best represent this Greek word. And this would have been a clay light. It would have had a wick in it. It would have been fed by probably olive oil or something similar to that. And this would have been the best and most common source of light in a house there in the Middle East, in Palestine in Jesus' day. Now, again, I want to go back to, it's not about a firework. It's about just practical light, having the light you need to navigate. And I want you to realize that this light that I'm showing you right here, this lamp, it would be very easy to put it under something, a basket or something like that, that would cause the light to completely go out. And so if you notice in the text, it tells us that the good light, the good lamp, it just needs to be put in a place of prominence where it lights up the whole room. Now, I want to just revisit the fireworks versus the light bulb analogy. You don't light up a room with fireworks. And if you do, you better have a really good friend who's a fireman. That's blowing up a firework in my bedroom is something I would have done when I was younger. I don't think I did. I'm glad I didn't have that idea, because right now I'm thinking that would be really cool. But anyway, the truth is that a light is such a common thing, but it is an absolute necessity. You are an absolute necessity. Don't think that your contribution to the church needs to be a firework. Just be that light bulb. Be practical. Let the warmth of Christ, the light of Christ, flow through you. I believe that's what God is teaching us here in verse 15. It is so important that our light is not absconded. Now, let me just say, today there are a million reasons why people don't go to church, and none of them are good. Now, maybe sickness, we'll say that's understandable, but we can't call that good because you're sick. But I want you to realize that much of our witness today, if you look at it, as Christians, as Baptists, as evangelicals, we've come to a point where we say that we are full on, our light is shining if we go to church one or two times a month. I don't think that's true. I don't think not being involved in missions, I think not being involved in a small group, I think not being involved in a life group, I think what you're doing there is you are putting your light under a basket. You are not allowing it to shine as it's meant to be shown. I believe that God wants the church to be better in this regard. We have allowed the world to completely take over our priorities. And we make all these excuses for why we don't have faithfulness to church. But I'll tell you this, and we'll talk about it more in a moment. There is coming a day when our children are going to make their choices based on our choices. And if we have allowed the world to keep our light hidden, it may just be that our kids won't think that the light's all that important. I think a lot of us are making bad choices that are going to lead future generations to darkness. Don't let it happen. Make sure that the light is on at your house. Make sure the people you love know the light is on and the light of Christ is real and powerful and beautiful and good. Keep the light on, Mom. Keep the light on, Dad. It's not easy. The world is going to tell you your kids need a thousand other things, but I'll promise you the light of Jesus is more important than any sport, any activity, anything you might do. Put Jesus first. Many of us, we don't have to look at the world and say, oh, the world is keeping us from worship. No, what's keeping us from worship is our own choices. The light is not shining because you're choosing not to let it shine. It's easy to blame media, government, philosophers. But we need to look in the mirror and we need to ask ourselves, am I allowing my house to be a city on a hill? Much less, am I contributing to the church so that it can be a light to the nations? I think the simplest way to get the light out into the world is to nurture that light at home. Make sure the light, those flames at home are burning bright. And I believe God will then begin to give you grace and mercy and direction in every other part of your life. One more point, good works and God's glory. Sadly, in the church today, we often put faith and works in opposition. Jesus is so good at not doing that. I'm not saying that works can save you, but I am saying saved people have righteous works. And I believe that one of the ways that we allow the light to filter through us and into the world is righteous activity. Notice verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Hear me out. What we're talking about here is we are not being a light where people say, ooh, we really like the intensity of your light. If it's about you, you've kind of missed the point. What people need to feel is the intensity of the light of Christ. And what we do is we die to self, that the window of our soul can be as clean as possible so that when the light goes through, it is not stopped by the particulates of sin, but instead the light is clear and it illuminates and it changes lives. Lives will not change because of your gifts. Lives will change because of the light of Christ shining through your gifts. God is the difference maker. Jesus is the Savior. But you have a role to play and your good works matter. Let your light shine. Let it shine. I believe that many of us are missing the blessings of God because we are not turning on the light, and we are missing, obviously, then, the opportunity to be a blessing and a light to others. Salt, which we'll talk about in the future. Ideally, I would have talked about salt, and then we're talking about light. But both of these elements are invasive. They change whatever environment they're in. They overwhelm the environment. So hear me. I know we feel overwhelmed by the world, but the darkness, the sin of the world, it cannot push back against the light. The light will win every time. When you allow Jesus to shine through you, your good works bring glory to God and change the world. When I was a little boy, we used to sing the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." I was thinking about that song. I can just see the little basement where we were. There was an annex to this little church. It was a terrible place to have kids ministry. But anyway, it stunk and it was old. And I would give $1,000 to go be there again and to sing those songs with many of those teachers who have gone on to be with the Lord, and many of those young people that were with me in that room that are no longer following Christ, who didn't follow the words of that song. And we all know people that were maybe a part of Ridgecrest or maybe a part of our family, a church family, or our actual family, nuclear family, that once were singing songs like that, but now they're gone. And wouldn't it be great if we had another chance? Well, maybe we do. As long as there is life in your lungs, as long as there is life in their lungs, it doesn't mean that it's over. It means there's always another chance. We just need to let the light shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let the love of Jesus fill you and change you. You know, again, a couple weeks to meditate, I believe in preaching the Word of God. I believe in being faithful to the text. I believe that the only way that we're going to be able to follow the Lord in righteousness is to know His Word, His revelation to us. But let me say this, that for many years, pastors like me, we've tried so hard to teach and preach, and we've stood firm on the Word of God. But let me just tell you, you need the Word of God, but you also need to be the presence of Jesus. You need to get next to Jesus. You need to get as close to Him as possible, because it's the only way you'll glow for Christ. It's the only way that you'll be able to change that bitterness into sweetness. It's the only way that you will go from griping into glory. Listen to me. We have to change. We need to change. We must change. And the only way we change is when we surrender to Jesus. And I want to say to you this morning that the light shines. It shines and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and He is inviting you to be a part of that light. He's bringing you in. He's inviting you. So let's end with this. We want Ridgecrest Baptist Church to let its light shine before others. This picture, if we've got it up there, I want to show you. It's just a picture of a building. That building doesn't mean anything. It's special to me. It's special to many of us. This has been our church home for many years. But I want you to think about that building as just a platform for the light of Christ. Everything we do here, it has to be about Jesus and for Jesus. We're not a city on a hill, but we are on a hill in this city. And what we want to do is allow the light of Jesus to bring love and warmth and hope to a new generation. And each of you, if you're going to make a difference for the world and in the world and for the kingdom, I want to tell you, then be a part of this church and make sure your light is in the on switch. That it's toggled on. Don't be satisfied for anything less. Too many of us have been trying to find a dimmer switch. We're maybe not completely on or completely off. We've been trying to find that compromise position where I'm doing this because you know that's how the dimmer switches used to be, the little round ones. Now you've got a little button. I never can figure that out because it just goes wherever it wants to. I used to like it where I could control it. Like the guys up there, they have these little knobs that can control. I like control. But anyway, that dimmer switch is kind of like the Christian compromise of our age. I want to tell you something. Just turn it on and try to be as bright as you can for Jesus. Let it shine. And when I say bright, I'm not talking about intelligence. This isn't about how much of the Bible you know. Listen, no more of the Bible, but please, 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 no more of Jesus. The church today, I'm here to tell you, I'm listening to a lot of people talk, and they're talking theology, and they're talking about polity and ecclesiology and all these fancy words. That's fine, and we talked about it at the convention because you get a bunch of people there, and it's the only chance they have to talk about their seminary learning. So they got to grab a microphone, usually number four, and they have to let us know how much seminary learning they have. I have a bit of it myself, but I want to tell you, the dryness I felt over the years was because I dug in to that and seemed to get shielded from Jesus. And I want you to know the next years of life that God gives me and the years that God allows me to fill this pulpit, I want you to know my life's calling is for me to personally know more about Jesus so that you can know more about Jesus. And we'll do that through the faithful preaching of the Word, through the singing of gospel songs, and making sure that our light of ministry shines for the world to see. So two things as we leave. Some of you in this room, as I said earlier, may not know Jesus. I preach this sermon mostly to those who know Jesus. But I want you to know Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and He said that He was the light of the world. And the cross illuminates the sin problem that I have and you have, but there is a solution. He died for our sins and rose from the grave 3 days later with a burst of light and energy that provides salvation for the whole world. And if you will humble yourself, if Jesus is saying to you this morning, you need the light. You need the light. It's not about turning something on. You can't turn something on you don't have. If you don't have the flashlight, you can't turn it on, all right? But I believe that God is speaking to some of us this morning, and He's putting that flashlight. We have the choice this morning to trust in Jesus. Will you do it? And for many of us, you received that light a long time ago. but you've either dimmed it or turned it off. So let me just say this. Don't you want more of Christ? Yearn for him. Don't you want more of his kindness? Don't you need community and fellowship? You need discipleship. You need the relationship that can only come when brothers and sisters in Christ are in the Word together, praying together and encouraging one another. Be like Christ. Be kind. Go from this place today and look for someone to encourage. And then come back to this place and dig into a community group, into a life group. Do something that gets you connected with Christians. Receive the light, and then church, will you be the light? That's my challenge to you. As we launch into VBS week, let's make sure that Illumination Station is for real and that each one of us are doing our part to light up the world. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening. For additional resources, to learn more about us, or get connected, visit RidgecrestBaptist.org.